Amen. Amen. Love that new song. Well, you can be seated. Thank you. Let's give up for the worship again. I love that new song. No other name. No other name has the power to save like Jesus. And that's what we want to proclaim here at Wilshire Avenue. And before we begin and enter into God's presence and his word, October in this, let me give a just caveat right at the beginning. This is not for me. But October is for Pastor Appreciation Month. I'm not saying this, but hey, come on, Pastor Appreciation Month. We've got a lot of wonderful pastors here. And I want to ask you a favor. Would you help me? Would you bless them this week? The month, some of you are like, why do pastors get a whole month? I don't know. But October 10th is the actual day, and I was out of town. But I want you this week, don't let October go by without blessing one of our pastors here. We've got Pastor Mark, our executive pastor, who was up here giving the announcements. We have Pastor Brian, who does our sports outreach and connections and is doing so many wonderful things. Pastor Elroy, who's in here in our 9 a.m. service. We've got Pastor Saquon, who's doing our youth. Pastor Cherie with their children's. We've got Pastor Bryant up here. And we've got even pastoral interns in Sierra and so many people coming up. Would you bless them? Would you bless them this week and just show them you love them in a small way? Would you pray for them? Would you continue to pray for me, pray for us? And can we do that? Can we love them? All right. Thank you. Let's get in. We're going to go. So today I'm calling today's talk In Dry Times. Now we can all go through dry times. I remember as a young pastor, I was sitting down and I was having this conversation with this man who I respected and loved a lot. And he was just sharing, he was just going through a dry time. He was a guy that loved God, and he loved God, had a wonderful career, beautiful home, beautiful family. And there was a part of me that was like, why? How could you have this dryness? And as I've learned and matured in life, I've realized dry times happen no matter what. Our circumstances don't determine the condition of our soul. Amen? Because life can be going great, yet things, our soul can be dry. Things, situations, circumstances don't determine how our soul is actually doing. So we have to take care of our soul, and we have to practice what does it mean to find nourishment and to be refreshed. And so if you're not going through dry times, and I'm not talking about the catastrophic events, I'm just talking, you're going through life, going through the motions, it just feels dry, can feel empty, can feel meaningless, insignificant. And some of us might even be at that point of devastation. Or maybe some of us are just doing fine, but store up this word for a day because it will come. So let's go, let's dive in to God's word. We're going to go to 1 Kings. It's in the Old Testament, kind of the first quarter of your Bible. You've got 1st and 2nd Samuel. You'll see 1st and 2nd Kings. We'll put it up on the screen as well. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews, and you can grab one of those and take that home if you don't have one. That's our gift to you. But let's go to 1st Kings chapter 18. We're going to look a little bit of a story of a prophet named Elijah. Now, the setting of the story, before we jump in, and we're going to jump halfway in, I feel like we need to come back to Elijah at one point and do a sermon series on him. But what's going on, this is around the year of 863 BC. And you have King Ahab who's come in. And now, as the Bible said, you can look earlier in Kings, and it describes all of the different and Kings describes a lot of the kings of Israel. And so you have the kings and the reign, and it goes through a few chapter by chapter, one king after the next. And you see that each king begins to have his own ways, and he starts to lead the people astray. There's this king, Jeroboam, that creates calves and idols. And so he causes people not to worship the one true God, but he says, hey, let's worship this golden calf. Let's worship him. And so this king leads people astray. And then when it gets to King Ahab, it says that King Ahab was more evil than all of his ancestors, all of the kings before him. So it describes King Ahab, and you see in this line of kings, I mean, terrible things. You see children being sacrificed and worshiping all of these idols. And so these kings get into these terrible, terrible things, and they lead the nation of Israel astray. And so that's what happened. So Elijah goes to Ahab and he says, a drought is going to come over the land. The nation of Israel will be in dry times because they have chosen to follow another way. They have chosen to follow lowercase g gods and not the one true God. And so what Elijah says to the king is, we will go into a season of drought. And so the season happens, the drought happens for several years. We don't know specifically how long. It says in the third year, but that's not necessarily, that's the description of the year. And so they're looking at this. So it's a season, a long time, because the land dries up. Elijah even goes to a brook where he gets water and that dries up. But God continues to take care of Elijah. And so what we see is during this season, there's a promise that God makes to Elijah, that the rain will come and that God reveals himself. And there's this fascinating scene that we'll talk about another Sunday. But God reveals himself in the fire, and Elijah demonstrates that God is in control and that God is who he says he is. And these false prophets, Baal, who worship the god Baal, say, oh, we see where God's going to come here. He's going to light this sacrifice on fire. The god Baal doesn't show up. Yahweh, the true God, shows up and reveals himself. And so in this moment where God reveals himself, Elijah says, now the people see that this, my God is the one true God. And so to restore, so there's this aspect that God promises in this altar that he's going to restore the nation of Israel. And so they're picking up to the scene after God reveals himself and the people see this. There's a transformation. And let's go right here in verse 41. It says this, and Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. The sound of a heavy rain. Rain is coming. Verse 42, so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down on the ground, and put his face between his knees. So Elijah's saying, hey, the rain is coming. We've been in drought, and now the rain is coming. Verse 43, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There was nothing there. He said, seven times Elijah said, go back. So what I want us to, if you're taking notes on the first ones, the first box, go ahead and write, see beyond what you can actually see. I'll explain that in a moment. See beyond what you can actually see. So let's paint the picture of what's going on here. Elijah's up here and he goes and tells Ahab, go ahead, you've seen God show up. Now the blessing is coming. The rain is coming. I know some of you are just thinking in your head, like, it's going to rain, right? Just in your head. But here it is. He's saying, it's going to rain. He promises this. He promises a blessing. So he tells Ahab, go. It's going to rain. And what does he do? He goes up to the top of the mountain, and then he bends down and begins to pray. So now what it says actually here in verse 42, it says, but Elijah climbed up to the top of Carmel, bent down on the ground, and put his face between his knees. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate that up here for you guys. I'm not going to lay down on the ground and put my face between my knees. I'm not that flexible. I'd probably like break my back trying to do that. But he's doing this. Why? Why would Elijah go up and do this? He sends it out. He said, the rain is coming. So he's up there and he's praying. He's crying out to God. He's saying, God, I need you to come. I need you to break through. I need you to bring your blessing. You have showed up once. You will show up again. But notice what he does. He sends out his servant, and the servant, what does the servant go back? And he says, there's nothing there. Sends him out again. Servant comes back. Nothing there. Again, nothing there. Again, nothing there. Again, nothing there. Now, this doesn't give us the exact reason, but I believe Elijah, it has two postures. For one, I think he's down on the ground. He's got his head between his knees because he doesn't want to see what he can actually see. Because if he looks, there will be no clouds. If he looks towards the sea, there won't be anything. Yet we know in modern day, we know how rain works, don't we? We know that as the sun dries up, evaporation happens, enters the atmosphere, and cloud condensation happens, and clouds are formed. So although we don't see anything, rain can be in the process. It can begin working. God is constantly at work, even when we don't see him. We might say with our eyes, nothing's there. Nothing's going on. Maybe are you in that situation right now? You're looking and maybe at your career and you're just seeing nothing is there. And maybe in school, nothing is there. You're trying and nothing is there. Or maybe in your family, some broken relationships and you're hoping for healing and you don't see it. Nothing is there. Or parenting, you're working on your child and they're continuing to disobey and you're struggling with them and nothing is there. But what does Elijah keep saying? Go back, look again, go back, look again, go back, look again. What if we could be a church that we would say that to each other? You don't see God working right now, go back, look again, look beyond what you can see, because God is actually at work. God is moving. God is working, although we can't see him. So notice this right here. As he keeps going and he keeps pushing him and has him keep looking, he's got his eyes down. He's like protecting himself. And he's even sent the servant. Why? Because maybe he's protecting himself from looking. He's got his eyes down, and then he knows, I don't want to even look, so I'm going to send my servant to have him report. And there's this need for encouragement to remind each other, go back, God will work. God is working. You know, growing up, I remember my parents sharing, they were supporting a missionary, somebody that was going, venturing off in a new land without a lot of money and just sharing God's hope, his love, his freedom, his forgiveness. And in this letter, year after year, they would report, we're working hard, we're trying everything, but nothing's going on. And I remember my dad sharing this with me and saying, see this man, he's a good man. He's being faithful to what he's doing, and yet he's not trying to boast and say, whoa, God's moving in all these wonderful ways. He's just being honest. He's saying, I'm doing everything, and he's saying, I don't have anything to report, yet God is moving. God is at work. God is doing something. God is up to something. I don't have any fruit to show you yet, but God is working. Year after year, he had to keep reporting. 3 years, God is doing nothing. God, I have nothing to show you because God is always up to something. But I have nothing to show you, nothing to show you, nothing to show you. And then there's an explosion that happened. A whole city began to get transformed. A whole village got transformed by God's love. And so many people were baptized and coming before God, and their lives were completely transformed. But think of time and time again, it happened with, there's nothing. Go back. There's nothing. Go back. Be faithful. So I feel some of us might need to hear that word this morning. Maybe it's in your research, maybe it's in your work, maybe an entrepreneur, and it's having a step of faith. You see nothing there, but go back. God is working. God will break through. Go back. Because there's an aspect of faith that we have. As we have a saving faith, believing that Jesus died and rose again, there's also a faith that we have in trusting God constantly in our life. We trust him. We obey him. We can't always see what's going on, but that's what the Bible describes what faith is. Faith is seeing what you cannot see. It's in the unseen. It's unseeable, but you're trusting that God is at work. Trust that God is at work in your families. Trust that God is at work in your lives. And so go back. Practice praying. Do you know why he goes back seven times? This number seven in the Bible represents perfection. So this prayer, cry out to God for your families, for your work, for your households. Whatever situation you're in dry times, don't handle it on your own. Go up to the mountaintop, wherever that is for you. Go to God and prevent your eyes from seeing. Don't look at the results, but know it's coming. Let's look at this next verse right here. Verse 44. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariots and go down before the rain stops. Before the rain stops you. So what I want us to look at, if you're taking notes, I want you to write, see the big and the small. See the big and the small. See the meaning in the meaningless. What does God have you doing right now that might seem insignificant? That might not seem like it has a lot of meaning? Because look at this, Elijah's here, he's up on the top of Carmel, and all of a sudden, the servant reports, there's a cloud as big as a man's hand. It's not very big. Yet what does Elijah do? Elijah says, let the party begin. It's going to happen. What has God told you that is going to happen and you need to celebrate even with the small beginning, even with the small little puff, the little cloud that is forming? I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I can quickly get discouraged and say, well, that's not a big cloud. God's not going to be able to do anything through that. And so we can get discouraged. But notice what Elijah tells the servant. Imagine the servant. The servant's probably like, Elijah, you just told the king to go get ready for a rainstorm. Did you not hear me? It's a little, it's nothing. This cloud is nothing. Yet we have to remind ourselves that God is at work and that we need to see the big in the small. What all throughout the story of the Bible, the disciples, when they're coming before God, they don't even have anything. They're told to go out and not carry a bunch of extra food. And they go out and God will provide. Think about the feeding of the 5,000. It started with just a few loaves of bread and some fish. Jesus says even a mustard seed amount of faith can move mountains. We need to celebrate the big things God is doing in the small. The other day, my oldest and then my middle child, two girls, and when my oldest was still learning how to spell, I remember she would come up and try and spell certain words, and you know, they would just, it'd make us giggle, because she would just kind of invent these spellings and try and spell. But imagine my oldest daughter, if she came and she was like, hey dad, I'm spelling toy, you know, and it's T-E-E-Z, and you're, hey, good try. But imagine if she came up to me at the very beginning, she's trying to spell, and I'd just be like, you're a moron. That's not how you spell that word. Go back and read again. Imagine her soul, her spirit, if I treated her that way. But there was something small, she began to learn just the sound, T, she got the T right. And she's beginning to learn. Now what's so interesting, which I think translates to us in the church, I've noticed my oldest daughter now as she's learning to spell and can do a good job, that my next one is in that process she was at, but my oldest is doing that to her. Just with my oldest, we'd say, good job, keep going, encouraging her. Just give your best and keep spelling. Now my middle one's trying to spell, and my oldest one's like, you're a moron. That's not how you spell it. And then I'm trying to tell my oldest, I'm like, but encourage her. And she's like, but dad, it's wrong. Don't we do that sometimes? It's wrong. We see somebody maybe doing something the wrong way, and we're just quick to hammer them down. And at Wilshire, we want to raise up leaders. We want to empower leaders. And when you empower leaders, it starts with celebrating the small. Maybe God's doing something small in others' lives. Whether you're a parent and you've got children, Or maybe you're a boss and you have people that report to you, or you're a student, you're a captain of a team, other people are coming to you, you're working with. Who are you working with that you need to encourage and celebrate the small? To celebrate what God is doing. And not quickly just say, well, that's not a big cloud, God's blessing won't come. Or maybe it's in small circumstances, God's providing financially in little ways, and you're just saying, oh, how am I going to take care of my family with that? Or maybe it's something at work, and that's not going to satisfy the project or help me overcome the project I'm working on. What if we began to see the big inside the small? What if we know what God is calling us to and continuing to work? Everyone else might doubt. Everyone else might say, that's nothing. Yet you know what God has called us to. Maybe it's a ministry you want to start here or have started here. And what happens is you look at it and be like, that's not a very big cloud. But notice what Elijah does. He says, prepare for the rain. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. Do you know, they've done a study. Recently, we've had terrible events like Las Vegas and shootings. But they've done these studies on people that you find when people act heroically. And there's people that are getting shot at. And there's some individuals that rise above. And they don't just try and fight for their own lives, but they fight for others' lives. And so what they do is they'll secure them to safety. And I mean, you see this in firefighters and policemen. How are they so calm in terrible situations? There was a police officer that was asked about this who trains other police officers. And he said, we sweat in the training so that we can be calm in the tragedy. I thought that was a great quote. We sweat in the training so we can be calm in the tragedy. What are the little things that God wants you to work at? Because Jesus says, whoever is faithful in the little will be trusted with more. Do you know those that are quickly to respond, and man, this is preaching to me right now, that in traffic and lay on their horn and respond angrily in small situations are far less likely to respond calmly in tragedy than those who practice patience in the little situations. So, what the world might say, that's insignificant, that's meaningless, yet you are building a practice of trusting that God is working. Maybe it's just changing a diaper. Or maybe it's you're working in your business and you see others getting ahead by cheating or taking shortcuts, but you're doing the small and you're going the right way. And it might seem meaningless and it might seem insignificant, but God is preparing something big. It's a small cloud now, but it's about to rain and it's about to quench the whole entire land. Would you see that? Would you see beyond what you see? And may you begin to celebrate the big things that God is doing in the little things. It's not insignificant. Because God is working. He's doing something. He's doing a new thing. Now, here's a scene shift. Let me actually explain one part. Verse 45, let's go into that. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose. A heavy rain started falling. Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah. Tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. So here's what's going on. The rain's coming. The rain is about to come. And so back in verse 44, it says, so Elijah, go and tell Ahab, when he was telling him, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops. So as the sky grew black and a heavy rain started falling, imagine the scene. The land is so dry, it's parched. And all of a sudden, God's blessing, his rain starts falling down. And Elijah said, hey, this cloud was just a small cloud. God told me it's coming, and now it's here. Imagine the joy of the people that have been, it's been years of a drought, famine, and they're just longing, they're thirsty. They're thirsty for actual water, and they're thirsty for God's blessing. And so there's this triumphal scene of it's dark clouds and God's blessings falling down. It says the power of God comes on Elijah. So it's this interesting scene because Ahab's on the chariot and now Elijah is running in front of the chariot. So Elijah, I mean, just like super speed, you know, it's like Mario power up. He's just like, you know, moving along, and he's going. And I mean, just imagine the scene. It's pouring down rain, and Elijah's just probably like, I told you, it's just this victorious scene where Elijah's just like, yes, God's showing up. And he's just super speed running in front of the chariot. And why this symbolized in those times that a new era is coming. He supports what the king is about to do because the king had led the nation astray. Now the king has seen that God has provided and that the king will turn around. He'll bring restoration, repentance, which means turning back and following God. And so he says this new era is about to begin. And so it's just this crazy scene where Elijah is just running in the rain. Just, yes, the rain has come. Scene shift. 19, verse 2. Because what happens is Elijah had said all of these false prophets have to be removed. They have to be taken care of. And so Jezebel does not like this. Jezebel is King Ahab's wife. And so she worships the god of Baal, and she's not too happy that Elijah, this new god, is coming in. And so she sends message in verse 2. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them, the prophets of Baal that were removed. Elijah was afraid, verse 3, and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. He says, I have had enough, Lord. He says, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. What? Elijah was just running in front, trusting. He saw God in radical ways. He was going, he was praying seven times. He went back to God. God, show up, go back. And now he's just running in the rain. Yes, God has provided. And then there's a threat in his life, and he cowers. He runs away from the blessing that he asked for. God had provided the blessing, and now he's running away. You know what I love about the Bible? All throughout the Bible has stories of a story of a prophet like Elijah that are people like you and me, not perfect. Because what the Bible constantly shows is that you and I were not perfect. These prophets are not perfect, yet there is a God who is perfect. And so that just like Elijah needs to rely on God, you and I need to rely on God. And so he's there, he's running from the blessing. Now look at verse 9, it says this. It says, then he went into a cave and spent the night. And it says this, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He says it again in verse 13. What are you doing here, Elijah? He's asking him, you've prayed for this blessing. What are you doing? Why are you running? If you're taking notes right above that third box, where are you going? Where are you going? Why do I run from God's blessing? Why does sometimes when God provides, we ask him for something, and then we get it, either we complain about it and move on, or we just blow it and just toss it to the side? Why do we constantly ruin the good things that God gives us? Why do we run from God's goodness, from his shelter, from his love? God asks Elijah, where are you going? Why are you running? I'm right here. Now, it's so fascinating about this text. Look at this in verse 2. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Now, scholars have noted in this time, if Jezebel had really wanted to take out Elijah, she would have sent her guards and she would have sent troops to destroy him, to try to kill him right then and there. Jezebel knew something. Jezebel knew what Elijah didn't. Jezebel had saw the power of God at hand. Jezebel saw God working. She most likely was afraid of what of Elijah's God. She was afraid of what he could do. So she didn't go and just take Elijah out right then and there. She sent a threat, an idle threat at that. Think about Elijah. Elijah just sees God provide. He sees blessing come down, his fire rain down, and now he's afraid just by an idle threat. What has gotten you off course of your calling? Is it just an idle threat? Maybe it's an insecurity. Or maybe something about your job and you're trying to seek provision. Do you know Elijah in the story, which we'll look at another day, during the famine, during the drought, God provided food for him by a raven. Provided food and care. When that brook dried up and that food stopped, he provided a widow. This widow that had nothing gave the food, the oil, the bread, did not run out for Elijah. She continued to provide. So Elijah saw God provide through thick and through thin, and yet he's running from the blessing. If you're taking notes, I want you to see that we would continue with that C theme. See and stay. See, the obstacles are no match for God, and stay in his blessing. How to fight the drought, we need to see that God is working when we don't see what's going on, and we need to stay. Maybe stay the course. Maybe continuing in your business. What do you need to stay the course at and continue to work on? It might seem meaningless. It might seem insignificant. But God wants you to stay and receive his blessing. So back to the story. As Elijah's there and God says, where are you going? What are you doing? God not only asks him this question, but God physically provides food and water for him again. God provides physical needs for us, but then he meets our spiritual needs. God's presence enters in, and Elijah, he shows himself. He reveals himself to Elijah. Elijah had been running from God, and now he's here in God's presence. You know what I love about the story of the gospel? Elijah had no faith at this point. He said, God, take my life. She's going to kill me. He worried, and yet what does God do? Not like the response of my oldest to my middle child. How could you have no faith? Or spelling. How could you not spell? How could you mess up like this? But what God does, he pursues Elijah, and he blesses him, and he loves him. God goes back. We mess up, and God blesses. God loves despite our failings. That's the message of the gospel, that Elijah goes running, and God runs after him. The Bible says that you and I, that we have all run, we have all gone astray, yet God comes after us. He chases after us, and he loves us, he provides for us, and he calls us back to him. After God blesses him physically, he reveals his presence on him, and then he says this. He says, verse 15, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. So he says, go back. If you could write underneath your notes, even another point as you see and stay, go back again. Because not only go back and look, the clouds are coming, go back and look, the rain's coming, go back again, whatever challenge you're facing, God comes to him and says, go back to the blessing. Go back to the blessing, go back to where the rain pours out. And not only that, go back to anoint a king. You and I in this day and age, with the Old Testament look forward towards the New Testament, look to the day that Jesus would come, you and I have a responsibility to go back, to not run from God's blessing, to go back and proclaim the name of another king, to proclaim the name of Jesus. Because Jesus' kingdom is about bringing a new peace, a new restoration. As we've been talking about and rooted in a previous series, that God comes to restore his shalom, the peace of the city, that he wants cities to prosper and have peace. And so as this kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven, you and I get to proclaim that this peace is coming. We get to proclaim that there's a king that has come. So we need to go back and not be afraid of the threats that come in. Go back and continue to see that God is working even in the small. We need to encourage each other as a community. What if at Wilshire Avenue, we would see the spark inside of people, see the small cloud rising, and what if we rose up leaders here that would bring peace in our city? That would proclaim the name of a king who brings peace. His reign is love. His reign is freedom. His reign is forgiveness. There's so much hurt in this world. There's so much pain. But what if we could see the diamond in the rough? What if we could just dig out and dig up just the small little specks in people's lives? Celebrate that. Begin to champion it. And begin to see God moving tremendously. Would you join me? Let's pray. Father, maybe some of us have been running from your blessing. Maybe we're in a season of drought. And in a time where we're constantly looking down at the threats in our lives. God, may you keep our eyes towards you. May you keep our eyes not fixated on the things of this earth, but may we see that you are constantly working, that you are constantly moving. God, help us to see the big and the small, that you are moving. Lord, may we be faithful with the small and the meaningless things. Lord, may we be faithful and changing the diapers and continuing to love people and continuing to have patience with people, even in traffic. Lord, help us to build these small things, to keep going back to you. Lord, may we see transformation in the city. May you bring the blessing down. May you reign in the city, in our nation, Lord, in dry times. Lord, may you rain down in our own souls here this morning if we are experiencing dryness. Would you bring life? Would you cause us to flourish? And may we flourish in your name, King Jesus. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.